I got a river of life flowing out of me. Wee-haw! Makes the lame to walk in.
Oh! Oh! Hi, guys.
Wow.
That's a lot of people. I was told that we weren't having an adventure club tonight. So I went fishing. Sorry. I was inspired by Pastor Jay's sermon this morning. Remember Jesus and the disciples? And they all went fishing and that amazing miracle. Remember that? So I figured, let's go fishing. Now, if you don't know me, I'm Mr. Nate. So I'm working at Adventure Club. Hey, guys. And I work in trackers, 3 to 5 year olds, and the rest of Adventure Club knows me. So if you didn't know who I am, that's me. And I'm fishing. And, you know, I love fishing. Fishing is great. And I'm really hoping to catch a fish real soon. I think this is it. I think I got a fish. I got a pole. This thing's big. I got a pole. Ah, come on, fish. Come on. Come on. Whoa. Wow. Oh, I got a fish. Look at this thing. I think it's real. Oh, all right. Whoa. Look at that. I got a fish. Can you believe that? Woo. Wow. Now, I'm a little afraid. I say, you caught a fish, Mr. Nate. Why are you afraid? Well, here's the deal. I was told before I came out here to fish that there are bigger fish in the water. I'm not afraid of little fish. Don't get me wrong. I'm afraid of big fish. And there's this saying that goes when you have smaller fish, this saying goes like this. There's always a bigger fish. You ever heard of that saying? Well, I'm kind of afraid of that. I've heard there's bigger fish in the water. And I just, you're making fun of me? No, I'm afraid. I'm genuinely afraid. You gotta believe me. What's up? Oh, whoa, no, get back here. Oh, he's got my fish. Oh, no. Whew. Oh, I gotta catch my breath. Whoa. Whew. Now you're laughing. But I was scared. I was afraid. Okay? I was scared of big fish. I went to Florida once, and I was scared of the dolphins. I'm scared of sharks. Whew. Okay. Well, I don't know if you can relate, but I'm afraid of that. But maybe you're not. But maybe there's something that you are afraid of. What about the dark? Anybody afraid of the dark? Yeah? Yeah, I was talking to some kids, and some of them are afraid of nightmares. You have nightmares that you're afraid of sometimes? Yeah. Well, what about being lost? You afraid when you get lost? Yeah, that can be scary. It's happened to me. It's happened to my brother one time. And then we can go down the list of all these things, or maybe some more serious things. Maybe you're afraid of losing a loved one, right? So there's so many different fears that we can have. And this morning... Well, actually, it's not morning. It's evening, right? We're past morning. This evening, I want to talk about fear. And it reminds me of a story in God's Word of a time when the disciples were really, really afraid. Can I read that story? Is that okay? I know it's not Adventure Club, but I mean, I'm here. Should we do it? If you have your Bible, all right, let's do it. If you have your copy of God's Word, go ahead and get it out. Maybe you'll see a Bible in front of you. We're going to go to Mark chapter 4. In Mark chapter 4, all the way at the end, this is a story of when Jesus calms the storm. In Mark chapter 4, let me go ahead and read this story for us. Starting in verse 35. On that day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. And other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And he awoke. And he rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said to them, Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith? And they were filled with great fear and said to another, who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? So this is a story about when the disciples were really afraid and Jesus calms the storm. And this is what I want us to learn from this message tonight. That Jesus is God. And because Jesus is God, you do not need to be afraid. In fact, you are commanded to trust him. So, let's look at this story. What do we have here at the beginning? Verse 35, Jesus is teaching. It says, on that day when the evening had come, he said to them, let us go across to the other side. So what do we have here? Jesus is all done teaching and it's evening. Now, do you know where Jesus was teaching? Jesus was teaching in a boat. Probably didn't look like this boat, but he was in a boat and he was teaching all day. Can you imagine that? Now, why was he in a boat? There's probably a few reasons why Jesus was in a boat. One of them is because he had huge crowds that would always come to him. Thousands of people, more people than are in this room. And they were always trying to get to Jesus. So one of the reasons Jesus got into the boat was so that he wouldn't get crushed by the people. Because so many were trying to touch Jesus and get to Jesus. And in order for Jesus to teach, he needed to be away from the people a little bit. So he would get into the boat and teach. And also, they didn't have microphones in that day. So his voice was able to be carried out over the water and into the open so that everybody could hear him. And so there was Jesus, and he was teaching. And he's teaching all day. And now, this verse tells us that evening had come, and Jesus tells his disciples, let us go across to the other side. He's done. They need to set sail, and they need to go to the other side of the lake to get a break and to go to bed because it's evening. Verse 36 says, and leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was, and other boats were with him. So they took him just as he was because Jesus was sitting in the boat. He was teaching in the boat. So they said, okay, Master says to leave, let's do it. So they packed their things, they hop in the boat with him, and they set sail. And there were some other boats with them. We don't know what happened to those boats. Maybe they went a different direction. But Jesus and all of his disciples are now in one boat. And they set sail. But then what happens? What happens? Look at verse 37. And a great windstorm arose. And waves were breaking into the boat so that the boat was already filling. A huge storm. Wind and waves. Let's talk a little bit about wind. Have you ever seen how powerful wind can be? You can't see the wind with your eyes, but you can see what it does. You ever seen wind take down a tree? Yeah, you've seen that? You see the way it moves leaves? Well, it's also powerful enough to bring down a whole tree or maybe a whole telephone pole and snap it in half. Wind can also take off a roof from a house. Or we're in California, you might say a roof, right? It blows it right off. Wind is fierce and powerful. And when wind comes to a lake, that can stir up the lake and cause huge waves. And waves is the other thing in this storm. There's big wind and there's big waves. Waves are also powerful. You ever been to the ocean? Yeah, those waves are scary. You might not think so, but the bigger they get, the scarier they are. One time when I was young, the waves dragged me under, and I remember doing a somersault under the water, and I remember getting up and thanking God that I was still alive. It was just so scary because waves are powerful. They can drown people. Now, that's what's going on in this story. It's dark, and there's a huge storm. And what are the waves doing? It says that the waves were breaking into the boat. These waves are throwing themselves into the boat. And then it says that the boat was already filling. What does that mean? Well, now the boat is filling with water. What happens when you fill a boat with water? It sinks. This boat is sinking. has all the disciples and has Jesus. It's dark. The wind is huge. The waves are huge. And now the boat is sinking. So what do you think the disciples are doing? They're super scared. And we're going to read about them being super scared. But before we read about them, this is what Mark tells us. We find out about Jesus first. And in verse 38, it tells us what Jesus was doing. But he was in the stern. That's the back of the boat. He was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. So Jesus was in a different boat? No. Jesus was in their boat. He wasn't far away. Jesus was right there with them in the storm. Huh. And it says he was asleep on a cushion. Now, it probably didn't look anything like this. In fact, the cushion may have been like a sandbag tucked in the back to help with the boat. But the reality is, it says that Jesus was asleep on a cushion. He is out. He's exhausted. Remember, he was teaching all day? So now, he's exhausted. He's gone to sleep. Have you ever been so tired at the end of a day and you just sit on the couch and then you just fall asleep? Has that ever happened? Or maybe it's happened to your dad. He's come home and he sits down, and then before you know it, he's out, right? And have you ever gone over to him and just poked him? Just to see? And he doesn't wake up? You ever done that? Some of you have done that. I know you've done that. And he doesn't wake up. Why? Because he's exhausted. Well, here's Jesus. He's fully God. He's fully man. And he's asleep. He's in the boat. He's not afraid of a storm. But the disciples, oh, they're afraid of the storm. Because look what happens. Mark tells us. Says, and they woke him and said to him, Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? They are upset that Jesus is asleep. And so they wake him up. They're terrified. And what do they ask him? They say, do you even care that we are perishing? Think about that. I know they're afraid. They're afraid in that boat. But what do they ask him? They say, do you even care? Do you think Jesus cared about them? Yeah, Jesus cared. Jesus had healed their loved ones. Jesus had healed their friends. Jesus had forgiven sinners. They had seen all this. And most importantly, like we learned about this morning, Jesus called them to follow him. Jesus made them his disciples. Jesus chose 12 disciples, and they were it. So of course Jesus cared for them. Jesus loved them. And yet here they are in a storm, and they've forgotten all that. And isn't that true in our lives when really difficult things come our way? The storms of life, the really bad days, the really difficult seasons of life. And we forget all the good things that God has done for us. We forget that he's there in our boat. We forget that he's with us in the storm. And what do we say? We say, God, do you even care of all the pain and suffering that I'm going through? That's where the disciples were at. They'd forgotten all about how good Jesus had been to them. And so they're waking him up. There they are. They're cold. They're wet. They're afraid. The waves are crashing in. The boat is sinking. The wind is ripping their sail apart. They're all going to drown. And they're saying, Jesus, we're perishing. Do you even care? What happens? You see it? And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Jesus woke up. He didn't rebuke the disciples. At least Mark doesn't record that. What he says is that he just woke up. And what did he do? He just said, peace, be still. And you know what? I wonder. He may not even have yelled. He didn't need to yell. All he said was be quiet and stay quiet. To the wind, he said, peace, be quiet. To the waves, Be still. Keep quiet. Now, I've got a little something here to help illustrate this for you. I know not all of you can see this, but I have some little colorful balls in here. This is water. And what Jesus has done is he's stopped the wind, but he's also stopped the water. Now, the wind is moving the water, right? Because there's really big waves. So if you stop the wind, the water doesn't just normally calm down. I'm going to mix this, and you're going to see that even when I stop the movement, the water keeps going for a little bit, okay? I'm going to mix it up. Okay, I stopped moving, but look, I mean, they're still moving, right? I'll go over to the other side. So I'm moving this water all around, and then when I stop, I mean, the water, there's still like a little tornado in there. It still takes some time. But you see, what Jesus did is he said, peace, be still, which means the wind stopped immediately and the water stopped immediately, which means it went clear as glass. It was night, but it was still. All of a sudden, that raging storm was over. Isn't that amazing? Now, you can't calm the wind. You ever tried shouting to a windstorm and saying, peace? No. You ever gone to the edge of the ocean and told the waves, don't move? You can't do it, right? You've tried to get your dog to stop barking sometimes, right? It doesn't work. And parents have tried to get their kids to stop shouting. It doesn't work sometimes, right? And yet here's Jesus. He can talk to the wind. And he can talk to the waves, and they stop just like that. That's amazing, isn't it? Let's keep reading. What happens next? Look at verse 40. Now he's going to speak to his disciples. He spoke to the wind. He spoke to the waves, and they obeyed. And now he said to them, the disciples, why are you so afraid? Have you still no fear? Have you still no faith, is what he says. So why are you afraid, right? Have you still no faith? He's asking them, why are you afraid? Now, we all can answer that for the disciples. We know why they're afraid, because they just experienced a terrible storm. Jesus knows what they experienced, and yet he asks, why are you afraid? Have you still no faith? You see, the disciples were supposed to trust Jesus, and they didn't. And he's asking them, why didn't you trust me? You know what I can do. You know how powerful I am. You've seen miracles. Why didn't you trust me? What do the disciples do? Well, look at verse 41. And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? The disciples aren't even thinking about what Jesus has just told them, because they are so amazed that the storm that was so terrifying is gone. And why is the storm gone? Because Jesus stopped the storm. So now in their boat is someone way stronger and way more powerful than the storm. If you look at through the Old Testament, who is it that has the power to calm the sea and calm the storms and part the waters? Who is it? It's God. It's God. And the disciples know all those stories. And so here they've just experienced the storm. The storm has stopped. The wind obeyed. The sea obeyed. And all of a sudden they realize God is in their boat. And they're terrified, because God is way more powerful than any storm that they will ever face and that you will ever face. And what Jesus is teaching them is that they were not supposed to be afraid. They were supposed to trust. They were supposed to put their faith in him. And you know, in life, that's the exact message that God has for us. You do not need to be afraid. Whatever you're going through, whatever you're struggling with, whatever you're worried or concerned about, you don't need to fear, because Jesus is God. Therefore, you can trust him. You can trust him. You don't need to be afraid. And you know, to the kids, as you get older in life, you might start to move away from using the word, I'm afraid. And you get a little sophisticated sometimes as we get older. And we say, oh, I'm not really afraid, I just have some anxiety. Right? But here's a little secret. That's fear. And Jesus' message is to fear not. Don't be afraid. Why are you afraid? Trust Jesus. Or maybe we don't use the word anxiety. We use maybe an even safer word. And we say, oh, I'm just stressed. That's all. I'm just really, really stressed right now. That's fear. And Jesus' command is still the same. Don't be afraid. Fear not. Why are you afraid? Trust in him. No matter what you're facing, no matter what you're going through, the command is still the same. You are to not fear. You are to trust in the one who is greater than anything you will ever face in this life. Now, to those of you who are saying, yeah, but I'm really tough, and I'm not afraid, and the anxiety and the worry and the fear and the stress, that doesn't bother me. I can handle it. I can take care of myself. So what? Trust Jesus, trust Jesus. Okay, I understand. But I'm a tough guy or I'm a tough girl. Well, to you, I want to tell you this. I want to tell you that if you look back in your Bible and you look back to when what the disciples said, they said, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? This is where I want to connect it with you. To those of you who are saying, I don't really need to trust Jesus, you're perishing. You say, I'm not in a boat. I don't have any big wind coming. I don't have any waves coming towards me. You're perishing. To perish means you're dying. And that's the reality of every single one of us in this room. Every single one of us are going to die. We're all perishing. Some of us are going to die sooner than later. But it's the great reality. And here's the reason why. The reason we are all going to die is because we are all sinners. We will all one day be judged by a holy God. We have broken God's commandments. And God said way back in the beginning of the garden that you will die if you sin. And they sinned. We are guilty. We are corrupt. We are sinners. We have violated God's holy word. And God is a good God. God is a just God. God is a holy God. And he must and he will punish sinners for their sin. And that means that when we die, we will stand before a perfectly holy and just God. And as a sinner, we will perish forever under the wrath of God. That's a far greater and far more terrifying storm than the disciples were facing in that boat. And it's a far greater storm than anything you're going through right now. But then look back to what the disciples asked. They asked, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? So if that's the state we're in, that we're all perishing, okay, now ask the question, well, does God care? And the answer is yes, God cares. In fact, God cares so much that he sent his son Jesus to this earth to save sinners like you and like me. God cares so much. Jesus cares so much that he came to this earth and he lived a perfect life, flawless, never disobeyed, not once. He did this in the place of sinners, his bride, his church, his people. And he lived this perfect life, and yet they hated him. Some loved him, many hated him. And they had their way and they hung him on a cross. And yet it was on that cross that he bore the full wrath of God in the place of sinners. He suffered and he died. Why? Because he cared for you and he cared for me. That's why he did it. And then he died and he was buried. And yet on the third day, what happened, kids? He rose. He rose again. And later he ascended into heaven. Why? Because he cares for you and for me. He rescued us from the greatest storm that we could ever possibly face. And there's a very popular verse that we all know, and I want us to say it together because it summarizes exactly what I'm talking about. And it's John 3:16. Could you say that with me? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the good news. Isn't that the good news? And so no matter what you are facing in this life, you are called to turn from your sin, to trust in Jesus. And so as we learned this morning, that Jesus calls us to follow him, and Jesus calls you to follow him, and it's an amazing life following Jesus. It truly is. He rescues you. He forgives you from your sin. He adopts you into his family. He promises you everlasting life for all eternity. And it's an amazing, beautiful life to live here on this earth as a follower of Jesus. But I'm also here to tell you that as a follower of Jesus, you're going to face storms. You're going to face really difficult seasons of life. And there are times when those storms don't leave. You're in the boat, and the waves don't stop, and the wind doesn't stop. And you may be tempted to ask, like the disciples, Jesus, do you even care that I'm perishing? And if that's you right now, let me encourage you and exhort you with this. In those moments where we think Jesus doesn't care, I am asking you to remember Calvary. When you're asking, Jesus, do you even care? Remember the cross. Remember Jesus' body, bruised and beaten, hanging on that cross with nails through his hands and nails through his feet. When you are asking, Jesus, do you even care? Remember your sin that he bore on that cross, suffering the full wrath of God for his people. When you're tempted to ask, Jesus, do you even care? Remember his death. And remember his resurrection. He rose. He lives. So in those moments, remember the gospel. Because Jesus has rescued you from the greatest storm that he ever possibly could. He can't love you any more than he already does. So rest in him no matter what storm you're facing. Don't be afraid. Trust in Jesus. Would you bow your heads with me? Let's close this time in prayer. Lord God, we thank you for sending Jesus. Lord, the road can be difficult at times in life. We struggle with so many different things and with sin and with so many different hardships. And yet, God, you came to rescue us. So I ask that you would help us to not be afraid of whatever circumstance we are in, but to praise you for your glorious gospel, the good news of Jesus, and help us. Dear God, help us to trust you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. All God's people said, Amen. Amen.